You know, McDaniel comes up. Mary Kay tweeted out yesterday, you know, Mike McDaniel will interview with the Browns tomorrow for their head coaching position. And chaos on social media ensued. The Udinski stuff, or the, I almost said Greg Williams, the Jim Schwartz stuff. Like, listen, I think it's highly possible that Baltimore is looking at Jim Schwartz and saying, well, I want to get to know him so that if Kevin Stefanski's our guy, Jim Schwartz can come be our defensive coordinator. That is not something I really want to think about because, well, I don't really want to give the Ravens two of the best weapons that the Browns have had in the AFC North over the last 6 years. At the same point, it's still incredibly early. Harbaugh is the biggest pendulum that has to swing. I don't know that the Ravens right now are as good of a job as everybody says they are, because I think that roster actually is in a bad spot. It's just you have Lamar. I really do think maybe the Raiders have a real chance because of Fernando Mendoza. Like, I just, there's a big-winded, big-picture way of saying, let's not panic about the Browns head coaching search. They're doing what I think they should do in this situation, which is run a pretty comprehensive search, and that's okay.
Well, yeah, and honestly, it just feels like everyone's just at a standstill until Harbaugh decides what he wants to do, and that's how this should go. If you are in the running and the Browns are in the running, you should just sit back and wait a little bit, see what happens with Harbaugh, and then go from there.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, let's see what the Browns do. Like, let's not, like, the McDaniel thing. If you don't like the McDaniel thing, I'm not going to sell you on it. I think he's a better version of what Stefanski's supposed to be. I just think Stefanski's better at playing the media game than Mike is. But we'll see. I tend to think the best thing that could happen is Harbaugh goes to Atlanta, because that means Stefanski would go to New York. But we'll, I mean, guys, Philadelphia could fire Nick Sirianni today. I still think, I know what the wording is, I still think there's a chance that Green Bay just doesn't want to pay Matt LaFleur what Matt LaFleur wants. And that leads to a trade of some level.
Oh, really? You think this is all just games?
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference between Matt LaFleur is going to stay in Green Bay. They will get a contract done. And, hey, they're going to work on this and we'll see where it goes. Which is essentially the vibe I've gotten about the Matt LaFleur stuff.
I mean, they put it as like the Packers are now expected to try to work out a deal, as if they were pretty sincere on that. But I guess anything could change. I would say on the Sirianni point, Sirianni shouldn't upset the coaching market if he does in fact appear.
He would instantly become the number one guy.
I really don't think he would. Is it
because he's dumb?
Yes, I think he's perceived.
But I don't think he's dumb.
I think he's perceived to be a dodo. I think there's a lot that comes with him. And I do think a lot of people believe the heavy lifting on this Eagles team is because of Howie Roseman, one, and then the players. Not really anything that Sirianni has done.
I think that's wildly unfair. He's been more successful in this run than Doug Peterson was similar situation. And the thing that Nick Sirianni is,
I think his win percentage is like fourth all time or something in NFL history. It's insane.
And here's the difference with Nick Sirianni. He is a red ass. Like, he is, like, people, oh, I want a leader of men. Guys, Nick Sirianni screamed at A.J. Brown because he didn't get off the field fast enough yesterday.
I know, but it's now, we got too many people at this point. It's Jalen Hurts that always is a certain way about him. It's A.J. Brown. It's all these Big Dom wearing headsets now on the sidelines. Don't know where that came from.
Like, but think about it.
There's a lot that comes with Nick Sirianni.
Well, no, there's a lot that comes with the Eagles.
But I think his perception, though, is not... If he would not instantly be at the top of the board.
Yeah, but I think that's wrong.
I'd be fascinated to find out where he fits.
Think about the stuff that he's overcome. The perception that Jalen Hurts isn't a top five quarterback, which might be fair. The A.J. Brown melodrama, the offensive melodrama, the offensive line this year was just Swiss cheese. Hassan Reddick, think about all the personalities, Jalen Carter, think about all the personalities that he's won in spite of, which is something Kevin was not able to do here. There were years where just the personalities toppled over.
You can have absolute chaos around him and things can still exist in a winning way. I mean, that's one of the things about last year. When people, they talk about culture within organizations and how important it is, I will always point to the 2025 Eagles. They won the Super Bowl and they were dysfunctional gets. I mean, they made, if you think your family's insane, they made anyone that they think their family's insane look like a bunch of toddlers out there. Like, they were always arguing with each other, fighting in the media. They had that Jalen Hurts piece where he's like, after 4 years, we're just trying to figure out if we like each other. Like, there's always been dysfunction there, and they still end up winning.
And I think he's succeeded in spite of the dysfunction instead of causing the dysfunction. But we'll see. I will tell you, though, this young Philly fan, and this was captured on 6 ABC in Philadelphia, He has some changes he'd like to see coming to the Philadelphia Eagles.
This was a huge letdown. This was my Christmas present, and I got a loss.
I would have rather had Cole, huh?
Yeah, probably. I'm feeling two of two things. A, I want A.J. Brown packing his bags, and I want him somewhere else that is not here. I love you, A.J., but, like, you can't make those drops in that game. And I also want Kevin Petullo flipping burgers at, like, the local McDonald's or something. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
Whenever he's an offensive coordinator, it's like he's flipping burgers. One side, he's cooking. One half, he's cooking. And the other half is completely raw.
All right. I want this little bastard on the show.
Get him on WIP. What are you talking about?
No. Bleep that station. They've got enough. I want him as our Philly correspondent.
I'm like the afternoon show. Like a legit SWAT. I want him on our afternoon show.
We need some heat. Baskett and Phelps, they skew a little older. Let's bring a 13-year-old to even it out.
Now we get the demographics on our side now.
Yeah.
13-year-olds. Here we go.
Well, Jeff and Andy, you have to tell them, guys, put down the food and do a segment. With this kid, you have to be like, put down the TikTok and do a segment.
Yeah. I love the idea of us like skirting labor rule laws and everything like that. Labor laws to bring a 13-year-old in.
Labor?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's like all of a sudden all of Hollywood comes over and they're like, so here's how you get around it.
Yeah.
We'll find way. We got Lindsay Lohan on like 12 different movies as a child. We can make this happen for
you. One day, we'll get interns back. It's never. Never. It's
never. Never. No, it doesn't work anymore.
That's great. Those were the golden days. Are the Eagles broke?
I think so. They have to make a lot of changes. They definitely have to make a lot of changes. That game shouldn't have gone that way, Nick, in any sort of way. Nick Bosa's been out for like 3 months, and he's the third biggest sack leader on that team. They've been missing so many pieces. Kittle gets injured in the first quarter and goes out, and you think San Francisco is just going to lay down and die in this game. He's getting tequila served to him in the locker room as the game is moving on by ownership because he's that just banged up and trying to do anything he can. And they found a way to go ahead The 49ers shouldn't have won that game.
I think
there's no other way to look at it. They shouldn't have won that game.
You're right. I think this is the cycle of the Eagles. And I don't think it's just the cycle under the Eagles under Sirianni. I think it's the cycle of the Eagles. After they go to a Super Bowl, they fall apart for a year. Now, in this case, your falling apart was topping out in the wild card round. I think the last time they quote-unquote fell apart, I think they were in like the divisional round. But remember, they lost Shane Steichen and John Gannon to head coaching jobs. They come back the very next year. Neither of those, I think it was Sean Desai, and I can't remember who the offensive coordinator is. They failed. They were fired. I think Vic Fangio was running that defense by the playoffs after being fired in Miami. And now all of a sudden, all right, you're back. You win a Super Bowl. You lose your offensive coordinator to a head coaching role. And you hired the wrong guy. You hired a buddy of Nick Sirianni instead of hiring the best potential offensive coordinator out there after Kellen Moore goes to New Orleans. I think this is simple. You fire the OC and you probably get rid of at least one of A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, and Devontae Smith. And then you just do what they do, which is reload. Like I don't want to guarantee. I don't think the Eagles are broke in the way of like next year they won't be in the NFC title again, the title game again. I think it is. You got to break a couple legs. You got to get a couple bad fits out of there.
The offense just fell apart relative to what it had been in the past couple years.
Yeah, but I think that's fixable with the right. I think what we're learning is with Jalen Hurts.
They dropped from top seven in the previous 3 years to 19th scoring offense this year.
I think with Jalen Hurts, you have to have the right OC. But don't forget, that offensive line finally fell apart as well.
Lane Johnson injury yesterday before the game was critical.
Dickerson's been hurt. Like on some level, this team is built in the trenches, and it took half the year for their defensive line to show up, and it took another half of the year to rid themselves of 40% of the starting offensive line.
And Saquon looked a lot better yesterday than he had looked, but Saquon
had the boost back.
But for a large portion of the season, he didn't have any games over 70 yards rushing. Like his burst had been completely taken away from him.
Yeah.
That's like Micah Parsons on his, a Twitch stream was bragging about keeping him under 75. And it was like, he doesn't go over 75 against anybody.
216.
It's just a different Saquon this year.
216-474-0092. Are the Eagles broke? If you guys watched that game yesterday, I think it's yes. I think the answer for everybody is going to be yes, but it's how do you fix the Eagles? We, of course, are talking about Grant Yudinski, another candidate for the Browns OC job, Mike McDaniel, and whether he's a downgrade from Kevin Stefanski. Let's go with Sean in Kent. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Hello. Yeah, I think it's baloney to think that Jim Schwartz would ever coach the Ravens, or that they would ever want him to after Harbaugh. I just think that's them, the Ravens trying to, you know, make the Browns think, oh, they better hire him because someone else is going to take him. I just don't think the Ravens want the Browns to hire Harbaugh.
So run that by me one more time, buddy.
He said you don't think the Ravens want to hire Harbaugh.
Really are serious about hiring Jim Schwartz as a head coach. I think they're just interviewing him to psych the Browns out, to, you know, to maybe make them think that they better hire Schwartz as their head coach, so they don't hire Harbaugh. So the Browns don't hire Harbaugh.
Oh,
that game's not going to work ever though.
Like if you have ideas of Harbaugh, you're not going to let an interview with Jim Schwartz throw you off the scent.
Why would the Ravens even interview Schwartz? I think Nick had the right idea on this.
I think it's about if they really love Stefanski, you bring Jim Schwartz in, you get the feel about whether or not Schwartz would be able to go ahead and go to Baltimore, and you could pair up Stefanski with Schwartz and basically do what we've been doing for years now.
He's under contract. They can't go lateral, can they?
So if they hired him as the defensive coordinator and assistant head coach, I believe you would be able to do that.
Right.
Because right now he's just a defensive coordinator.
Level, jump up. Okay, I see that. All right. Yeah, I don't buy it, but yeah, I see the point.
Sean,
okay,
we appreciate you, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
That actually, just the fact that I even said that out loud, because initially I was like, he's in a contract for 2026, you're in the catbird seat, and then I remember the assistant head coach thing, and now I'm sad. I would be, listen, if Kevin goes to Baltimore, it doesn't really, there's no real skin off my back here. If Kevin goes to Baltimore with Jim Schwartz, am I going to have a feeling about Kevin? And it's, by the way, it's totally his prerogative. He's allowed to do this. This is what Stefanski should be doing. You fire him, but bleep him.
If I was Stefanski, I would almost make it like one of the conditions. I'd be like, whoever gets me, you have to do this for Jim Schwartz. This is what I want. Life was on easy street with Stefanski with Jim Schwartz in many ways.
No, 100%.
He never had to worry about the defensive side of the ball at all. He could solely focus on the offense. Makes you wonder what the hell he was even doing in the past 2 years, because he wasn't really working on the offense.
But think about how the Ravens could have screwed you over double here is by firing Harbaugh. Harbaugh becomes the Giants' top guy. Then so that takes Stefanski off the board in New York and then pushes him down to Baltimore with Jim Schwartz. All of a sudden, that is like, listen.
All right, the Harbaugh sweepstakes have started, by the way. The Falcons have just tweeted out that they finished their interview with John Harbaugh for their head coach opening.
Mm.
So the sweepstakes have started.
Couldn't seal the deal, huh, Matt Ryan?
Atlanta got their interview today. Still to be determined yet when he's going to interview for the Browns, if he interviews for the Browns.
I mean, if he leaves the building, don't you think we just lost John Harbaugh?
I mean, they put it in past tense. We have interviewed as if he's gone. As if he, Elvis has left the building. John Harbaugh's left the building.
When the Giants
he's
do
gone.
This, all right, if the Giants put out, we've interviewed John Harbaugh, and there's no like, and he's now our head coach, I'll start to really lean into, all right, Jimmy's going to at least get into a room with him and have a chance.
I mean, he put the Falcons as like a warm-up interview, right? You don't want to be the first one.
I mean, he hasn't interviewed in 18 years.
It's like a practice interview.
Like, and Matt Ryan's not even new. Like, he's new to interviewing. Like, he's not going to be good at this.
It's like, if you study for, like, the ACTs or whatever, you get, like, the practice ACTs. This is what this was.
Arthur Blank has liked Arthur Smith and Raheem Morris and just cried when he had to fire him. So, you got a softie as an owner, too. Smart by Harbaugh. That's a good play. Get a Rube out front and just get real good and sharp for the next
one. Someone you're not really serious about, but you just get the feel for it.